Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist.
And well done.
Thank you. All right. What's up? What's going on?
Not much. It's good times. Get it on. Let's go.
Get it on.
1-866-HEY-ADAM. We're still looking for that?
I don't know. I think we got... I'm taping a pilot tomorrow night for Comedy Central, and we need some live phone calls. So if you want to call in, you can call that number, but I think we got enough. But, yeah, why not?
Is it phone, like, Loveline questions kind of thing, or just any kind of questions?
Any kind of questions, I think.
Like car woodworking questions?
I don't know.
Car questions?
I don't know. It's going to be a disaster. 1-866-HEY-ADAM. All right, Drew. All right. Ready to go?
Let's go to phones.
Got a phone. Talk to Brittany, who's 18. Brittany?
Hello.
What's up?
Yes, I've been involved with my boyfriend for almost a year now. Mm-hmm. And I have this toy, which is a dildo. And
oh, no, you didn't.
Sometimes I feel as if he is more amazed by it than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I really care about this guy a lot. But I'm starting to feel as if this may be a problem.
What's he doing with it?
Going up the other area.
With you? He's putting it in you and other areas.
No, He likes for me to put it into him.
Mm.
Does it go in the butt?
Yes.
No.
And I'm starting to feel as if it is really starting to scare me.
In what way?
I'm not sure if it's something that I have to worry about, or is it more or less a fetish?
All right, hold on a second. Let's try to figure it out. And what do you mean, in what way? Her boyfriend?
No, what way? What are you afraid of?
My boyfriend, I'm afraid that I may get left for a guy.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I really care about this guy a lot, and I don't want to lose him. But
is there any other signs that he's gay?
No, not really. I mean, I haven't noticed. I mean, I've never really been around anyone who's gay, so I really don't know what the signs are.
Well, Adam, you have a test for this.
Yeah, it's right here.
Look for the areas. Fill that space, all right? The whole idea about creating focal points in your room is keeping your eye trained for those little details. It's those little details that make the home yours.
I remember the test.
That make the home yours. Got the home part right. Just needed the O at the end of it.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember the test. Well, let's see. Drinking a lot of diet soda.
Yeah.
No.
Picture frames?
A lot of yogurt, a lot of framing. Obsession with framing.
No, not really.
Not framing?
Houseplants?
Not including pot or cactus.
Right.
No, but I mean as far as you know, like wanting to put certain things, like decorating, but it's not much. It's just a little.
Does he have a squeegee in the shower?
Yes.
No.
Okay, that's good.
Ever wear a mock turtleneck?
No, never. I won't allow him to wear that.
Have you ever had a me day?
Does he take me days?
A me day.
Just a day for him to relax.
No, I mean, other than me being at work and he's off, that would be about it.
How, you know, really, here's how you can really tell the gay guys.
He's blown a guy.
How well does he take care of his face?
Pretty good.
You know, is it a lot of buffing, a lot of exfoliating?
No.
He's not gay.
Just
because guys shine.
Just because he puts things in his rear end while he's with a woman,
But I mean, it feels like, you know, sometimes it is, because I feel as if, you know, sometimes he enjoys it more than I do.
By the way, Brittany, most gay men don't have anal intercourse.
Yeah.
They just have oral sex. Most gay men.
Yeah, most. But, you know, 65%. Oh, who knows? Listen, Brittany.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. You can it is a sign, not necessarily that he's gay, but one of those, something's up. Okay?
Oh, definitely make note.
Make note there's something up.
Okay.
And make note that this guy may not be, class A dad material or right. something like that.
Right.
Maybe don't let him get you pregnant. You know, maybe you just hang out for a little while with this guy.
See if anything else turns out.
See what happens. And by the way, if he's going to use it on himself before you use it again, give it that drag under your armpit. You know what I mean? On your T-shirt. Psh, you know, you got to wipe it down.
Or have a sheath. You can kind of... Psh.
No, just before you use it.
Just under the arm. Okay.
Just give, you know, if he, once you get it out of him, give it that arm thing.
Well, he hasn't turned it on her yet, has he?
Not in that area. I just mean it's hers.
But he will turn it on her. You know,
it's hers.
But if he's not gay, he's going to turn it on her in some fashion.
Well, it's hers.
Yeah.
What do we keep saying? Turn it on her. It's her. It's her.
She uses it.
It's her dildo.
All right.
Brittany, it's yours, right?
Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I say, give it the wipe.
All right.
Seriously, how are you cleaning this thing?
Oh, honestly, I've used it maybe a couple times before, and that would be it. I'd run in hot water. And
yeah. Well, I mean, now you got to get the autoclave. Now, I don't know if this thing's going to melt, but whatever they put dental instruments in, I mean.
Chloraldehyde.
It's scary. You can't go from up there to in there.
That's actually
right?
interesting. That's a way you could transmit interesting things, bad things.
It's a bad route. Yeah. You think the oral fecal route is bad.
This is the fecal vaginal route.
Yeah. I mean, many settler died on that trail trying to make their way out to the West Coast.
Lewis and Clark, what do you think happened to them?
Yeah. No. That's a different trail.
Oh.
This is settling the West. They did the Mississippi, didn't they?
Well, but then they came all the way to Oregon.
Did they get all? Oh, well, they got to Oregon, but
it's west.
I'm talking about getting out to California.
Oh, California, well.
Yeah. Susan?
Hello?
Susan?
You're
18?
Yeah.
What's up?
No, me?
Yeah, you.
No, I'm 25. I didn't say I was 18.
All right, good times. Right. Here we go.
Okay. One of my questions is that when I masturbate, when I orgasm, I kind of pee all over the place.
Nice. There you go.
All right.
And I've had two cesarean sections. Mm-hmm. I have twins and an infant.
That's how you get... Well, do you have stress incontinence during the rest of the day? Like when you cough or laugh, do you lose a little bit of urine?
Yes.
All right. So that's a generalized incontinence that you have, and there are surgeries for that, and there's medication for that. You may want to talk to your doctor about it.
Okay. And... another thing, another question, the screener didn't think it was very interesting, I guess. But,
all right, let's hear it. I want to hear it now.
I got to punish her just a little bit.
Yeah. 1-1,000.
And the listeners by proxy. All right, what was it that the screener didn't think was very interesting?
Well, I have just rage. Where I'm shaking and I just want to kill people and I have just major depression and sometimes I can't get out of bed and it's a problem because I have to take my kids to school. I mean, I'm around my children.
All right, Susan, you got to take care of this. This is the history.
Freak your kids
out. This is the history of somebody that when we read about in the paper, people killing their kids. This is what goes.
No.
Susan.
Not towards my children.
Susan.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about uncontrollable rages. And if one goes really out of control, there's nothing you can do about it. So this really requires treatment. You have got, on behalf of your kids and their safety, and it does freak them out, having a rageful mom completely freaks them out.
Yeah.
So you've got to get some treatment for this. And if not, you're taking their safety and well-being into your own hands because you're too proud to go in and just get a little treatment.
How about you out a third kid? I think that's going to cure
it. That'll help it.
Won't that help?
No, I'm actually practicing celibacy. I have since my daughter was born.
All right, go get treatment.
Get some help.
Maybe need some medication.
I was hospitalized about 6 different times as a teenager.
Okay.
And I've been on just about every kind of antidepressant.
Hi, baby, you're depressed. You got to get help.
And this may not be... this may be mood stabilizing medicine, and maybe things like Zyprexa or Risperidol to kind of contain the rages. A lot of other things can be done other than just antidepressants. You need to see an expert. Okay?
I don't have insurance, and I'm actually going to a therapist.
Okay.
It's free. It's like $5 a visit.
All right. Well, ask for a referral to somebody who also is $5 a visit or less for medication. The universities typically have departments of psychiatry where you can go and visit and get free or low cost.
$5 a visit. I'm out in L.A. You couldn't speak to the Mexican guy with the sombrero that was tipped over his head who was napping on the cactus for five. That's like $9 a visit.
Yeah.
That guy just sitting there, you know, just leaning against the cactus.
They keep showing this data on Americans that are not insured. A lot of that is people who just don't go get the insurance. They just don't set it up.
Well, look. Here's the thing. Coming as a formerly poor person from poor parents and a poor family, 3/4 of the people who aren't insured. The same way half the people never been to Hawaii. They just didn't go.
They just didn't do it. Yeah.
It's not like these people can't afford the airfare and the money for the hotels. Like, no, they just never went. If they wanted to go, they would have went.
I mean, health insurance is like $200 a month.
Oh, not even.
Spend that money
depending on what you're doing. You know, how old you are and all that kind of stuff.
For a young couple, they spend that money on everything else except that.
No, I know that. I mean, the whole thing about this country is we look at people that don't have stuff and act like we're forcing them not to have that stuff.
Or we're not allowing them access
to it. Nothing could be cheaper and more abundant than just about everything in this goddamn country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's DVD players or health insurance.
Yeah.
Get a job and go get some, or get a job that has some. Yeah, there's a percentage of people that is sort of unemployable that have for circumstances beyond their control.
They're on Medicare, Medi-Cal. They're set.
Right.
They're all fine. It's an in-between one who thinks that insurance is for the Rothschilds.
Yeah.
When in fact it isn't for them. Just
well,
go get it.
Here's the reality. The reality is when you're making, you know, $400 or $500 a week, and I was in this boat for many years, except for it was more like $200 to $250 a week.
In the day.
The idea of putting money out for anything that didn't give you something in return immediately was unthinkable.
But
the idea of investing money seemed unthinkable.
Yes.
The idea of insurance seemed unthinkable.
But the irony is you'd spend a day not working, going down to county, spending $100 to get treatment that's suboptimal, you know what I mean? You spend as much money as the insurance, and more time.
You're thinking like a
non-poor,
like
person.
A white guy. Yeah, when you're really poor, you just don't think that way.
First right, you don't off, think you have. You're entitled to access. You're entitled.
It's not that you don't think you're entitled. It's just there's a few things. First off, paperwork intimidating.
Right.
You
right.
have to fill out things and get checkups.
And by the way, a lot of health insurance is like, no, I'm sorry, and then they would just stop. You have to find the one that takes
you. No, you would immediately stop. And the other thing is the idea, whether it's car insurance, health insurance, whatever it is, anything that involves putting money away for college or any idea of putting money aside for something that you hope you never use is unthinkable.
Here's a business.
You need money for junk.
Finding health insurance for people and signing them up for it. That's a business.
Yeah.
You charge people $10 and you would now have 1 million people want to, want your help.
Get going on that. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Right.
What's up?
My question, now, I'm trying to kind of leer away from you, but for Drew.
Well, that's it. Sorry, Brian. He's got control on the board there.
You're not leer, and I suppose you meant veer.
Yeah.
Away from the man who controls the board.
Right. When a guy is in command, I'm not sure you want to, like, tip him off to what you're doing. He might get a reaction, which is what he got.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that.
Well, it's all right. Joe?
Yeah.
26?
Yes.
Now, listen, Brian from Colorado doesn't mean we're not going to get back to you.
Oh, he just hung up on you.
He just leered away. Joe?
Yes.
Sorry, buddy boy. Go ahead.
That's cool. Well, here's my question. So I play sports, and last summer I developed these warts on my foot, right?
Mm-hmm. And whoa. No, what you mean? Like, you mean plantar's warts.
Exactly.
Painful warts. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I went to the dermatologist.
What's the difference between a regular wart and a planter?
Planter's wart is a completely different thing. They're deep, way deep in the soft tissue, and they're these white things that hurt when you step on them.
Yeah. Fortunately, they don't hurt too much, but they're real pain. And so I went to the dermatologist, and he tried to deep freeze them or whatever, and then he asked me, "Have they spread to my boss?" Right? And I'm like,
"Spread to your what?
To my, what can I say on the radio? I don't know. To my penis.
Ankle." You had
them
on your foot, right?
Boss?
He asked me if it spread to my penis or not, and I said no, and I was like, that seemed like a strange question to me. And
he did not ask you that.
He did.
No. From your foot?
From a planter's wart to your penis?
it seemed like a strange thing to me too. And obviously, I said no.
I will have to look up. I'll have to look up whether it's some association. I've never heard of that association.
Well, maybe he just said to the guy over the phone,
"Do you have warts?
Warts.
Do you have warts on your penis? Or do you have any? Yeah."
No, no. Well, the only place I'd ever seen it is on my foot, you know, and it didn't seem to spread except for on the bottom of my foot.
Did he ask, did it spread your penis? Joe, did he ask, did it spread your penis, or do you have them on your penis?
No, right. And so, like, a couple of months later.
Joe. Woo.
Joe's 26. Where do you think he's from?
I'm not sure if English is his first language. It doesn't seem to be.
Joe seems to have trouble understanding or something. Joe.
Yeah.
Slow down for a second. Take a deep breath.
We're talking to you, and you just talk all over it and don't seem to hear us.
Okay.
You had a wart on your foot
from
playing sports.
Yeah.
That's a virus.
You
okay?
went into the doctor and showed it to him?
Yep.
And he said...
He froze it off.
He tried to. It didn't work.
All right. Quiet, Drew.
Yeah.
Hold on. Shush.
All right.
Don't get into the froze it off and try to. You went to the doctor, you showed him the wart on your foot, and he said, did it spread to your penis?
Yeah.
Did it spread? Those were his words.
Spread.
Yeah.
Like, as in move from your foot to your penis.
He did not say.
Maybe through contact with my hand, maybe? I don't know.
Possible. Maybe sitting in the lotus position.
He did not say, do you have them on your penis?
Right. He asked me if I had noticed them, and I said no.
So he asked them, do you have them on your penis? Not, did they spread to your penis?
I think he said, did they spread? And they were never...
All right. Well, let's keep going. So
Here's the reason I asked that. Is a 26-year-old male is going to a dermatologist, the probability is he has warts on his penis. And so the guy's going to ask and check that. That has nothing to do, as far as I know, with the wart on your foot. So he's just going with the odds. The probability is you do have warts on your penis, and he wants to treat them while you're in there. It's important to treat those. So he's just, as a part of screening, saying, hey, you got them down here. By the way, do you have them on your penis?
Different wart.
Different wart, different virus, different everything.
Okay, so they're not related. Even if it showed up like a couple months later, that's totally unrelated.
I'll look it up. I've never heard of a relationship, but I'm glad he's asking about the warts because they need to be controlled.
Was he a dermatologist?
Yeah, he was a dermatologist in Los Angeles.
All right. Good times.
Well, maybe the dermatologist, every time he sees a wart, just asks if you got them on your honker.
Well, I mean, every time he sees a 20-year-old, he probably asks that.
Well,
because that's what they do. They take them off.
Yeah, but if he's got a 20-year-old who comes in there because they have like an ingrown hair on their forehead or something, might not be.
You know, you're supposed to do, all of us physicians are supposed to do STD screening on sexually active adults and birth control counseling.
So, really? So
you use that opportunity.
Somebody comes in with tennis elbow. What happened to tennis elbow?
I know.
Somebody comes in with tennis elbow.
Epicondylitis.
And you have to say to them what's going on with your vagina?
You're supposed to say, you know, these are part of health screening. You're supposed to, like when a 6-year-old comes in and sees me, I say, have you had a colonoscopy?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they came in with chest pain, I asked if they had a colonoscopy.
Well, you guys, you're like the mechanic. They come in for the oil change and they want to know when the last time they rotated their tires were.
Well, it's more that we're being held accountable for health screening.
You're
people
up
aren't
a little
doing
business. It. Nothing wrong with
no,
that.
No, it doesn't go to us. Is the problem?
You're
it goes
up a little
to,
business.
Not to us.
Yeah, the guy you send him to, you know, send him down the street to the tire place, but he gives you a taste.
Unfortunately, not. That's against the law.
Let you wet your beak.
Maybe with the tire place, but the doctors, you got to go to jail for that.
Let you wet your beak, Johnny.
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. I have a tattoo on my penis, mm-hmm. and I want to know if I get a lizard off, will it remove the sensation?
What's the tattoo?
A lizard.
That's going to be one of those finger traps. I don't know why, but it'd just be funny. Weird Chinese finger trap. Weird little basket all frayed at the end. Be awesome. Put your finger in one end. It's like your balls were stuck in one end, your finger stuck in the other.
Nice.
A lizard?
That's correct.
That must have hurt.
It did.
What kind of lizard?
It's an all-black lizard. I got it all black because I had a tattoo removed before, and I know that if you get black, the dye comes out easier. So just an all-black one. It runs the length of my shaft.
So you've already had a previous tattoo removed from your shaft?
No, another space.
No, on my hand.
Another place.
Yeah. True, and you're like a robot.
I would think that the tattoo would be more likely to cause nerve trouble than the removal myself.
I haven't really noticed any problems.
All right, so I wouldn't think the removal
I'm going to get Dr. Bruce to fire up the laser.
Adam's can refer you over to Bruce.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he does the phallus. Drew says yes. Drew knows somehow. So, Johnny, how does the, when you get a boner, does it get lighter in color?
No, but I've only had it for about a year.
Now, what does that mean?
No one ever knows.
You're calling me a robot?
I know.
What was that?
Listen.
What does that mean?
It gets bigger, you know.
No,
that's much more clear.
No, I know. He's asking if he thinks it's fading. No, nobody thinks. Nobody knows. And I've realized, Drew, I've really realized that either nobody listens to me or they don't want to listen.
Well, they hear a piece of what you said and they interpret through their own little screen.
That's fine for the radio, but then I get home and the same thing goes on again. Just nobody knows what I'm talking about. I think I'm being crystal clear about everything and everyone just said, I've realized people's ability to listen.
Oh, yeah.
And then sort of execute, what you're talking about, is some sort of dying art form.
It's listening and then understanding what you're saying.
And then executing.
And knowing whether you do fully understand what's been asked.
That's
the part that's missing. It's like, I hear you, but I'm not sure if I got it all, but I can't tell that I didn't get it all.
And then I now talk to everyone as a 9-year-old. Like I just talked to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, what did I just say?
Right, repeat
okay,
it.
Repeat it back. I'm talking to 40-year-old guys that way. Very sad, Drew. Very sad. Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
This lizard of yours, I'm saying when you get an erection, doesn't it stretch out and thus seem to come a little lighter in color?
No.
No?
No. I understand where you're going with your question, and no, it doesn't.
Just as dark. All right.
Just as dark.
But by the way, Johnny, you didn't understand because you answered last time, I've only had it for a year.
Well, he knows it now.
Okay.
He understands now.
Hey, I want to run game with Adam sometime. I bet I could stay on a level with him.
I bet you.
Run game?
I don't know. That means...
Wait. Before you guys cut me off.
I'm not cutting you off.
Questions about why I got it.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on. I'm not. First off, Drew, am I anywhere near cutting him off?
No, you're doodling. You have your hand is nowhere near the hold button.
I have multiple questions about this.
All right.
Why'd you get it?
Now, were you completely flaccid when you got it, or do you have to have a little blood in there?
Okay. Well, the artist, and this was done in Berlin. Yep.
Military.
that's funny. The artist basically has to stretch it out, and he inks you up, you know, he pulls on it and stretches you out. So, yeah, it's flaccid.
Does he have to pin it on a board or something? I mean, does it have to be sort of...
No, he just pulled it out with his hands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And how much did it cost?
Oh, it was pretty inexpensive, actually.
And
I have a few other tattoos, and comparatively speaking, it was inexpensive.
Doesn't this make him gay?
Do you, Anderson wants to know, I don't know if anyone hears Anderson.
Yeah,
right?
They do.
Oh, good. All right. I don't know if it doesn't make you gay, the tattoo artist gay, any more than it makes the doctor puts the finger in your ass gay.
Right.
It's just doing his job. Now, if he has a boner while he's doing his job, then it makes him gay. That's, that's my humble opinion. And so it's a lizard, it's black, and why do you want to get rid of it?
Because it was, it was fairly impulsive, and now that I look at it, I don't like the way it looks,
Mm-hmm. And it's got to be difficult. Now you're getting older, you don't want, your children are going to be staring at your penis, you don't want them seeing that lizard between your legs, yes?
Something like that.
So to speak.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can hit it with the laser.
Well, let me ask. It's got a... It runs up into the real sensitive area there, right? Right where the head is.
Yep.
And that's
yeah.
the part that concerns me the most about getting heat, right there.
Laser's not hot.
Me,
it's not really hot.
It's not hot.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I've had it done before on my hand, so I know it's painful.
Yeah.
Well,
you can put some Emla cream on there, the numbing cream.
Look, here's the deal. If you're going to go ahead and get a lizard tattooed on your dork, you're going to have to be prepared for a certain level of discomfort. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're not one of these guys who of yore who wears the powdered wig and the knee-high socks with the big buckled shoes. You're a certain breed of cat if you're going to go to Germany and get a lizard painted onto your joint. Be prepared for mild discomfort to get the lizard removed.
There you go.
All right. And thank Christ we're living in an age...
When you get it off.
Back when my dad and his father before him got their lizards painted onto their penis... Carved it off.
Cut off. That's right. They cut
not
off.
Not the whole penis, but they had to carve the lizard off.
That's right.
All right. Doesn't anyone do hula dancers anymore? You know what I mean?
It doesn't seem like it.
It's kind of old school, though.
Yeah. That was when the military was in Hawaii so much of the time.
All right. I'm saying you could hollow the lizard out and sort of reform it into a hula girl. You know what I mean? Just take the black out of the center.
Yeah.
A little modification.
It'd be nice.
Little pom-poms. I wonder if hula girls invented the pom-pom.
Those little things they flap around.
Yeah. They've been flapping those around for like 100 years.
Could be right.
I mean, you know, long before probably cheerleaders hit the gridiron.
And why do they look like sort of long grass, like seagrass? That's what they look like. Huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm on to something. Okay. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Next week, dear friend Jeff Probst in here. Dear friend Debbie Gibson in here, going to be doing Playboy. And then, David Ross, our auction winner. Seth Green is going to be in here as well. Dear friend Seth Green. Saw Survivor tonight. Always good.
Yeah.
Always good.
Mm.
Always good.
It's funny. I'm not a Survivor fan, but I am an Apprentice fan.
You would be a Survivor. Yeah. I could get you over to Survivor.
No.
You said about the Family Guy, too.
All right. Okay, man.
Let me say this about Survivor and all these shows where they group, 12, 18 people together and see how they work together. It's very interesting, and it's one of the things we talk about a lot on the show. They try to get an interesting, sometimes volatile mix of personalities. On Survivor, this year, they have the chick who's all tatted up and all sleeved and has the big aggressive piercings and all that kind of stuff. She initially lands on the island, initially pulls the one gay guy aside and says, "It's us against them. No, they're not going to accept either one of us. Ugh. We got to stick together."
Adam?
Yeah.
Try not to give too much away. I taped it.
Brian. Well, hold your ears short. I'm not going to tell you who got booted.
But anyway.
I'm not going to tell you this. But they do that's us against the world thing.
Taped it? How do you do that?
I'm assuming when he says taped, TiVo. He says like you bought a record, but he means CD.
Okay,
he must mean TiVo.
Taped.
Okay. I think Anderson actually just puts scotch tape on the TV and then peels it off real fast and stares at it. Sometimes it'll grab an image.
No, I still tape everything because if I get anything good, I can put it on the show. I can bring the tape in.
That's good. That's
TiVo's useless for me.
Yeah, no. That's great. Hasn't happened once in the 9 years I've been here, but awesome, buddy. I love that kind of thinking.
So anyway, the tat guy.
All right, so the aggressive tat and piercing chick does that thing. You know, she's in there with a bunch of normies, a bunch of guys, stockbrokers, businessmen, and all the guys who don't have tats and take care of themselves and all that kind of stuff. Pulls the gay guy aside and says, it's, me and you against the world. Later on, he kind of screws her over a little bit. But when she's doing her sort of testimonial halfway into it after they picked up the tribes, they just picked up tribes. Picked this, picked that guy. She got onto one of the tribes with like 10 people, and she's like going, I feel unwanted. I feel alone. I know these people don't want me here.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Feel like I'm one of them. I know they're talking about me. It's like, you see what I'm talking about? This
yes.
is what I do. They do their self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
They cover themselves in tats. They become goth. They become Wicca. They become whatever they do. Then they're asked to join in. And they say nobody wants to...
Even though they're being welcomed in.
Well, when they're not being welcomed in, it's easier for them to do the math.
Yes.
But usually they're not being welcomed in because of their antisocial behavior.
Yes.
And because of whatever kind of aggressive look they happen to be cultivating at the time. But even when they are welcomed
yes.
in, they're looking at it as none of these people are my friends.
Yes.
They don't want to be... even if someone says glad to have you,
yeah.
their thing is like, yeah, right, man. So they just bring it on themselves.
Absolutely.
Now, when are we going to learn this as
when
a society
punishing
these people
yes,
even
that's
more?
Right, that's right.
Instead of going,
not punishing someone, but not
you
being,
poor dear.
Yeah, not being so superficial with what's going on.
Well, let's look at it this way. Forget about we're living in this society. Let's just put ourselves in another society. Just forget America, forget the world, the globe, continents, everything you know about this. Just go to go to another planet that Dr. Seuss invented with the sneeches.
Yes, all right, we're sneeches.
And all the sneeches, they're basically the same. They get along, they eat, they crap, they screw. It's all about the same thing. They look alike, they dress within the same realm, lady sneech is different. But then there's a sneech that decides to rub crap on their head and look completely different than the other sneeches.
Yeah.
Of course, that one gets noticed.
Yes.
And of course, if you were studying this society of sneeches, you'd be like, yeah, that one insists on looking different, insists on acting different, insists on being there, seems to draw the attention of the other, seems to make the other ones feel uncomfortable when they come around. The other ones get agitated when that sneech comes walking into the room, and then eventually they throw that sneech out.
Yeah.
All makes perfect sense, right?
Right.
It's exactly, would you expect anything different? Would you expect the one sneech
to rub
the crap on its head to come back into the sneech society and them all to not notice?
When the crap rubbing sneech also starts getting belligerent and agitated and harmful to the other ones.
And no, and just starts crying to everybody that you guys judge me because I'm a sneech with crap on my head. Come on. Listen, all you idiots. I see through you like so much wax paper over an old sandwich.
Here's what the aphorism is to those guys. We're not your dad.
Yeah, that's right.
Not all sneeches are your dad.
That's right. You got a beef. You got an axe to grind with the old man, with the mom. Didn't get enough attention at home.
Maybe or you're abused.
Light dusting of molestation. Go take it out on the old man. Would you please leave us alone? We're just trying to get by here. I don't want to look at your piercings on your nipples. I don't want to see what you got, the bones going through your nose. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care. Please stop drawing attention to your nipples, fellas. Please. Drive me insane. The guy with the double
nipple. You're the one that keeps talking about the nipples, for God's sake.
I have sensitive nipples. What I'm supposed to do, lie about that?
Just not talk about it.
Well, I'm not going to hide my love for my nipples.
Well, that's what these guys say about their barbells.
You're trying to shut me up, man. And that's the other thing, too. You know, you always get this on these shows, too, which is, you know, during the testimonial. It's like, listen, I speak my mind.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes people can't handle it. They can't
handle
it. I'm
a strong person.
But I'm a strong person. I'm a strong personality. I speak my mind. And a lot of people, no, you're a C. You're a giant C who won't shut your effing pie hole. That's why they booted your ass out. Not because you speak your mind. Teddy Roosevelt spoke his mind.
Right, exactly.
Got pretty high up in government.
A little bit,
You're a coos who won't shut your face. Stand all these people taking their crappy qualities and passing it off. It's like everyone, if people were more evolved, I'd be
like
king.
Yeah,
I mean, look at me. Hey, listen, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't sugarcoat things. I'll tell you straight out what I think, but if you can't handle it, then I'm the wrong guy to hang out with. But don't expect me to, you're an a-hole and you have no friends. Please. What? How dare you take your horrible quality of just being a C or an A and turn that into a, you're some sort of free spirit who's unencumbered
by
the man.
Your own rules.
Yeah, please. How dare all of you. Devin?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, like, lately, for the past couple weeks, I've been masturbating like 3 or 4 times daily.
All right. Seems a little light. You feel that's a problem? Now you're calling the show, right?
No, my best friend and my roommate says that I get like hurt by doing that, and I just wanted to make sure that I could, that I'm not going to.
What is it that your friend expects you to harm?
I don't know. He said that I can get sores from it.
No. Yeah, you can erode your skin if you do enough action on there, but no.
When his roommate said you could get hurt by doing it 4 times a day, he meant, if you use my washcloth for a belly rag one more time, I will kick your ass.
I will hurt you. Yes, that's what I remember. But for the only concern is
same discussion with one of my roommates.
Whether you're in really truly a sexual compulsive, and if this thing starts escalating, or you start thinking about other things, prostitution, that kind of thing, you would be concerned about.
Well, you're not going to hurt any. He thinks he's going to hurt something physically.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people look at their parts. I think they look at their joint.
Their junk?
Their junk it's a football player's knee joint or something, you know, like
Joe Namath's knee.
Yeah, you wear yourself out, you know. I mean, Dick Butkus had a couple replacements, you know. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. There's not that.
No.
When your soul, when you turn inside out,
yeah,
when
yeah.
your soul comes out your penis, yeah. those are things liver, I'd look into it.
Your yeah, liver peeks through the end and yeah, it pops. Look into I it saw then. My liver once when I was going for a hat trick.
I don't doubt it.
Oh.
What?
What? I was thinking of knee replacement.
Yeah.
And my teeth started hurting.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a pretty gruesome procedure.
I mean, they literally cut the bone, right?
They really hammer in a big metal titanium thing.
But what are they replacing?
The surfaces of the knee. This is the femur and the
mm-hmm.
tibia.
Mm-hmm. Just what do they do?
Put something in there, yeah.
Yeah. Hurts my nuts and my teeth and my feet. I'm all covered.
You should go see that thing at the...
No. Right. It hurts. My teeth. And my nuts and my feet.
I get it.
All right, let's take a break.
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Just had a interesting conversation with Engineer Anderson.
Yep, and he yelled something out as we went into...
He yelled iPod out.
I didn't quite know why.
I'm not sure either. I think we're supposed to do a commercial for him.
I guess.
Are we supposed to do a live commercial for him?
The iPod Shuffle?
I don't know.
What? Anderson, what?
Yeah, a little banter.
If we
right
are,
now?
Well, listen. First off, this is a horrible commercial if we're supposed to do a live commercial.
Sounds like a Stern commercial.
Are we seriously supposed to do an iPod Shuffle commercial? Because I can talk about it because my kids
are
into
this. I can too.
Stuff.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Because for AA, number one. I don't have mine anymore.
Oh,
my
sold
wife,
it.
No, my wife grabbed that immediately. I mean, oh, I'll take this.
Yeah, must
and
be
then,
nice.
And then my kids are fighting over it.
Yeah.
They have the regular iPods, but the Shuffle is like, okay, I got to have one of those now.
Oh, absolutely. Really?
And they're small, right? They're like the size of a pack of gum.
I didn't even have a tote and play.
I was traveling, and I thought, oh, perfect. I need to have this.
Yeah.
You can load in stuff like, you know, airplane, you know, sweeping music. You know,
yeah.
Remember you wanted to have just music?
Oh.
Yeah. You can load that into the iPod, and it shuffles it around.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because I like to sleep on the goddamn airplane.
Yeah.
They can edit that out of the commercial. And so, you know, well, like airplanes, like, well, we got show tunes, we got country and Western, or you can listen to King of Queens, but it's like, oh, no, wait, they got a classical station
or
I can sleep
age,
to.
Or a New Age one.
Or a New Age one, that. Except for every 4 minutes, that was Chopin and the Philadelphia Philharmonic coming in G minor. Chopin is a boy. It's like, I'm sleeping, Winchester!
Yes.
Do you have to chime in every 6 minutes?
Yes.
Really? I'm in the air.
Right.
What am I going to do? Tune in? Oh, this is a hot station. I got to buy some advertising time on this thing. Shut up! I'm sleeping. I haven't screamed about this in a long time, Drew. There's 15 radio stations or 15 stations on most of those airlines. Not one of them can just play some nice Yanni music so you can fall the F asleep.
Right.
They all, the closest you get is the classical one, and that has to have the blowhard chime in every 4 minutes and talk for longer than the next song.
So, thus, we have the iTunes library.
Oh, yeah.
You plug your Shuffle in, and it downloads it, and then it shuffles, and you go to sleep. And the damn thing, those little tiny things in your ears?
No.
Takes away the airplane noise.
Oh, yeah. And let me say this. 240 songs.
Yes, up to.
Or you can hear Greengrass and High Tides and Inagata Vita once. That's it.
And it will just suit the 12-hour battery half-life.
Here, oh, for your flight, yeah.
Yes. I can just make the Inagata Vita
Singapore.
Song.
Oh, yeah. That goes on for 40 minutes before the lyrics even begin. But here's the other thing, too. I hear a lot of people whining, like, oh, yeah, 240 songs. That's not.
Think about
that. More than you got.
Of course.
That's more than you listen to. You may have more than that in your collection, but first off, have you ever sat down in one sitting and listened to more than 28 songs, maybe 55 songs? How many songs can you listen to?
Right.
240 songs, that's going to last you 6-7 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
That's
a good product, that iPod.
Yeah.
Shuffles, you wear it around your neck.
$99.
Here's the other thing, too. shouldn't you be able to use that on the plane on takeoff and landing? If they're talking about using
your
cell phone,
but you can't. No, you can't.
Yeah, but they don't know when it's on.
Oh, but listen,
they don't know.
Delta Airlines.
They don't know.
They won't let you put earphones on, Delta. Yes, I wanted to jump off the plane when they gave you that one. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm never flying this airline again. New law, Delta. Since January, on Delta, all flights, until we're at 10,000 feet, no headphones of any type.
Wow.
On one flight, and I had three other flights on Delta, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's the beauty of airline travel. And is there anything that should be more regulated or more
uniform
than airline travel?
Right.
It's got to vary that much from airport to airport in terms of the security.
Right.
It's got to vary that much from flight to flight. Really?
Right.
It doesn't. McDonald's doesn't have this kind of variance.
Right. And there's nothing at stake.
Ooh. Right. Okay. Jenny?
Yeah?
What's up, Jenny? You're 16.
Yeah, I'm 16.
All right, what's going on?
I've been cutting myself, and I don't know if it's, like, affecting my relationships, because, I'm afraid to, get close to somebody, but I'm not sure if it's just, I'm afraid to get hurt, or if I'm afraid they'll find out.
I'm sure the finding out is a nice excuse to not get close, but the fact is that the fact that you are a cutter speaks volumes about your sort of emotional condition. Somebody that needs to cut to regulate their feeling states tends to be somebody that has trouble with relationships, trouble with closeness, expects intrusion and abuse from people. So it all kind of goes together. I don't think you can separate one of these things out and blame them. It all goes with the syndrome. So, Jenny...
Mm-hmm.
How about a little treatment? That's what the cutting tells us.
Where are you cutting yourself? Your thigh?
No. My arms.
All right, sweetie. Well, you're depressed.
Yeah.
Just the way my house is and stuff. Just things.
Yeah, so the cutting.
And, just school and stuff. You know?
The cutting is a desperate attempt to find a way to regulate your feelings.
What's going on with your house?
Just, I fight with my mom. My dad isn't around. He's just a jerk.
All right. Well, your mom, I'm sure, has many faults, but she at least is hanging in and attempting to raise you.
Right. Well, dad is God knows where.
Where is your dad?
He actually doesn't live that far, but he's just a jerk and, just a drinking problems and just...
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, but listen, Jenny, why don't you do what I did, which is defy your parents by being successful?
That's a great plan.
Awesome.
I have a band, so I wanted
to... Oh, well, all right. If you got a band,
that's
then
the surest
it's
way
done.
To success.
Yeah.
Everybody starts a band.
There's 99%
success.
The bus could crash.
Yeah.
On the...
Otherwise, it's sure success.
Yeah. On the way to the amphitheater. All right. Well, as long as you got a band... What's the band's name?
Unseen Cutting Edge.
Exposure.
Mm. What exposure?
Unseen Exposure.
Strong. What kind of music do you guys play?
Kind of like alternative rock. So, yeah.
What do? You play the bass?
I play guitar and lead vocals.
Ah. Can you sing?
Mm-hmm.
Don't make her do it. Please don't.
What is one of your bigger, what's your best song?
It would probably be Family Man.
Ooh, by Hall & Oates. I said, leave me alone. I'm a family man. It's a hot song. And my bark is much worse than my bite.
I pray God.
It's a hot song.
I pray God it's not that song.
No, it isn't.
It's not Hall & Oates' Family Man?
No.
Oh, man. I mean, that's it. And you push me too far, it just might, he says in the song. It's hot. It's a family man.
Yes, 1981.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, did that... Hall & Oates gets... They
don't get enough abuse.
They don't get enough abuse. No. They're really... Between Family Man and Man Eater, they really just need a good swift kick in the nuts.
Man, yes, can't you sample that for us? Come on.
He's got to go way into the vault to get that. Had some good songs, but had some horrible songs, too, and they need to be punished for their
what
bad
are the good
songs.
Ones? I can't remember.
Like Sarah Smile and The Kiss on My List or My Lips.
The List.
Whatever.
You like it's The like, List?
No, it's just poppy and upbeat and was for the time. I'm not going to make fun of it. I mean, not everything is, Stairway to Heaven. But, they had some good songs, but they had some horrible songs. All right?
The List.
Because your kiss was your kiss. Yeah, all right. All right, buddy.
The best things in life.
All right. See that, Drew?
Yeah,
you're popping. That's
great.
That's finger popping music right there.
It's hip.
It's finger popping time. Huh?
Yeah.
Finger popping time. What about it, Chris? Chris, what time is it?
It's time for break.
No. Finger popping time.
Finger popping time, you idiot. Would you pop your goddamn fingers?
All right.
Now, what time is it?
It's finger popping time.
All right. Now, what time is it?
Time for break.
Yeah, yeah, good. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
That's right, Adam. Mr. Excitement.
Mr. Excitement. I was trying to explain to Drew what finger popping time. I swear, I think they use it on some sort of like popcorn shrimp commercial.
Makes sense.
Chris, just put in finger popping time and see what you get.
All right.
All right, buddy. That's Dr. Drew. Adam, phone number 1-800-LOVE. I was, we're in the bathroom. I was singing the finger popping time.
At a full voice.
Drew.
Top like, of his voice.
Drew thinks it's a beatnik song. I was trying to explain it's a Motown song.
As you can imagine when Adam was singing the great beat. The
finger popping, popping time. I feel so good. And that's a real good sign. Boogity, 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 shoot. Come
starting
on, buddy.
To get, it's
come
coming
on.
Into focus. I, coming in.
Here's. I will actually tell Drew what he knows and what he doesn't know.
But here's the thing.
And this is one you do.
But here's the thing. You tell me what I know, and I say I don't recognize the name.
Right.
And then you sing it so horribly, well, I can't recognize it. And then you blame me for not knowing it.
How dare you? Because then when you do hear it, you do realize it was how I sung it.
Oh no.
It says here, Hank.
No, Mr. Excitement.
Hank Ballard.
Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
Yeah, they sung finger pop. What year? Figure that out. Bill?
Hey, finger popping time.
You like that?
I like anything that's not me. I'm just tired of talking.
All right, Bill, what's the question?
Hey, I was wondering, do you guys plan on doing a best of Germany or Florida anytime soon?
Anytime soon? A best of, you mean as though we had accumulated tape with Germany and Florida on it, or that we'd like written them down and we're going to recap? We got neither of those things. We don't save tape. We don't write things down. Wouldn't you say, Adam?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
But thanks, Bill.
And
appreciate
hey,
it. But, yeah, it's a good segue into the Germany or Florida we're about to take. But go ahead. Annoy me further.
Why is it you're allowed to say ass and you're allowed to say hole, but you can't put the two words together without getting bleeped? I don't understand that.
I'm not. Well, first off, I think you may have done that because you only gave about a second and a half in between the two words.
We can't say a-hole?
I think I can say
a-hole. Yeah, I think we can, too.
Yeah, it's been said. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Megan.
Yeah.
14?
Yeah.
Time to play a little Germany or Florida, sweetness.
Yeah. Okay, a highly convicted felon hid in a dump truck while trying to escape from prison, but was unable to get out in time and was compacted into a bale of trash. His mangled body was later found in a landfill near prison.
Hmm. Woo! Tough.
I think I'd heard that. Is this an old story, Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd heard about this. So I must have been a Florida. Prison, Florida. Trash.
Florida.
The sort of the landfill,
yeah,
Florida.
Highly convicted seems like a strange way to phrase things.
I think she feel like as though it was a German translation.
Yeah, you know.
But then again, she could be smart enough to throw us a curve on that one.
No. No. So what? Where are you going?
Florida.
Florida? Feels like Florida. Yeah. I'm going Florida too, Megan.
Okay, it's Florida.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right, sweetie. Yeah. Take that ass home. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye, guys. All right.
Bye, Megan.
All right, let's talk to Stacy, who's 14. Stacy?
Hi.
What's up, Puddin?
My boyfriend, he's 15, and, like, he always demands sex. And if I don't give it to him, he gets really mad.
15, imagine that?
Oh, 15, I wasn't up to demanding bugles.
From your mom?
Yeah, like, hey, could I have one of those bugles? No. Okay.
Demanding sex from a 14-year-old girlfriend. And by the way, Stacey, you sound so depressed. That's depression, my dear.
What's up, sweetie? What happened?
He tried to kill himself today.
He did.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, may have dodged a bullet. Even if he didn't.
Is he hospitalized?
He tried to do it because he woke me up at like 4 in the morning and I wanted to sleep and he got really mad.
Are you both in some sort of...
juvie?
Yeah, some sort of...
What's going on? What's happened to you two?
I don't know. It's just been kind of screwed up.
All right, here's the reality.
Wait a minute. How did he try to kill himself? Hold on.
He stabbed himself in the thigh.
And is he in the hospital now?
No.
Why not?
Because his parents didn't know. He stayed at home sick and his parents weren't home.
All right, let me talk to Drew for a second. Stabbing yourself in the thigh. While sad is probably not the greatest...
You can get in some horrible complications with that, though.
I'm sure, but people don't try to kill themselves from complications. They try to kill themselves from killing themselves.
Yes, yes.
All right. So, obviously, this guy's a mess. Who knows what's going on with him? Stacy is a disaster.
Yes.
Let's try to fix her. Stacy?
Yeah?
First off, you know that song, Finger Poppin' Time, by Hank Ballard and the Midnighters?
No, I've never heard it.
Okay. According to you, Adam, everyone knows it, so she must have heard it.
Big hit in 1959. Anyway.
It's time for a little blood, sweat, and tears tonight. Anything?
No.
No.
So, Stacy, what's going on? Are you doing okay in school?
Not really.
Not really?
Are you going to school?
Most of the time.
Do you live with your parents?
What?
Do you live with your parents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you depressed?
I wouldn't say depressed.
I would say clinically depressed.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, you sound horribly depressed. And why are you hooked up with this suicidal sex machine? Oh my God, that's a good title for me. Forget Mr. Excitement. I'm going with Suicidal Sex Machine.
No, that would be a good band.
Suicidal Sex Machine?
Yes, it sure would. Chris liked that. Look at him.
Yeah.
That's a good band.
He just woke up.
Now, opening for Hot, Hot Heat. Super
suicidal.
All right, hold on. Try it again. Yes. Suicidal sex machine. Yeah. Now, welcome to the stage. Big Long Beach Arena. Welcome to Suicidal Sex Machine.
It's got to be Suicidal Sex Machine.
Right. All right. Stacy?
Yeah.
Yeah. We feel like you probably need to break up with this guy. I know he stabbed himself in the leg because you wouldn't have sex with him at 4 a.m. That's not your
fault.
He's
an A of extraordinary... I mean, we can't say a-hole, but that's what he is.
I think we can.
He's a sick guy. He's not your responsibility. He's exploiting you. Let's go. Let's end this thing. Come on. And he needs to get to the hospital and get some help. If he's actually suicidal, he will kill himself. And therefore, he has a terminal condition that needs treatment.
Yeah.
If I break up with him, he's going
to
try again.
You got to get your parents involved with this. You have got to get adults involved with this. This kid needs containment.
Here's my plan for you. Don't get pregnant.
Ugh. What are you guys using for birth control?
My mom lets me be on the shot.
Zepo-Provera. All right. Which adds to her depression.
Stacy, baby, you're depressed. Talk to your mom. Talk to your parents about your depression. You don't have to be this depressed. You don't have to be this down. You don't have to be. Okay. You live in Denver, for Christ's sake. You got Rocky Mountains. Go stare at a mountain, would you?
My parents make too big of a deal out of everything.
Well, maybe they're right.
To do so.
Yeah. Would you please get yourself some help? Just do it.
I'll try.
Try and do that, would you?
Thank you.
All right. Stacy.
Another Stacy.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Woo.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Actually, my friend and I got some tickets to a show tomorrow night that we hear you're doing, Adam, and we don't even know what it is, but we just heard it was you, so we were excited to go.
Nice. Oh,
thanks, sweetie P.
So we want to know what it is.
Well, I'm doing a pilot for Comedy Central. It's kind of like a talk show. It's just for after the Daily Show. It's kind of my own talk show. And tomorrow night, we're doing one show with Will Arnett from Arrested Development.
Oh, that'll be great.
And then we're thanks, Joe. And then we're doing another one with Marilyn Manson.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, so I don't know which one you're going to. We're doing one at like 7:30 and one at like 9.
Stay for both.
Stay for both.
I would love to stay for both. I don't know what we're doing. We're
staying for both.
Oh, we are staying for both. Cool. Oh.
All right. Well, good. Laugh it up, baby dolls. We'll have a good time. And I'll say hi to you after the show. Should go pretty fast.
Yeah.
Are you
going to
be drinking absinthe with your buddy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Marilyn?
Drink some of that. All right, guys.
All right. We're looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to you. Come find me.
You're going
to
start hallucinating with Marilyn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I cut her off. Yeah, Marilyn Manson, last time I was in here, was drinking that absinthe. And first off, couldn't they, you know, Stoli Nachka is easier to, honey, what was a Stoli? Well, everyone just, everyone just called it Stoli. But the point is absinthe sounds like you have a swollen tongue when you try to say it.
Like you're sneezing.
But he came in here, he did one of those moves where he goes, hey, buddy, I brought you a gift.
Didn't he do it twice?
No.
Was there two episodes?
I don't know. He brought me a gift. I said, well, that's nice. What'd you get? He said, bottle of absinthe. I said, oh, what's that? That's nice. That's like a liquor that makes you hallucinate. Ah, sounds good. Put that over here. Drink that when I get home. And he's like, yeah, let me show you how it works. And he popped it open. Then he ended up drinking most of it.
You guys went to town that night.
Yeah, a little. I'll tell you, make you feel a little freaky.
Yeah.
You feel a little freaky.
Start wearing women's clothes and makeup.
That's the least of it. All right, let's speak to Danielle. Danielle? 17?
Yeah.
What's
no,
up?
17.
Yeah.
Okay, 17.
Oh, 17.
Oh, well, what are you
going to
do?
That's totally different. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, I have a question. When, like, ever I have sex or I get excited, my hands get really numb. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Probably because you're hyperventilating.
Extremities get a little numb?
Yeah, you're probably breathing extra hard. You don't have to breathe much harder to blow off enough CO2 to cause that kind of thing, tingling around the mouth, tingling at the hands. Mm-hmm. You know, really as much as one or two respirations per minute more than you need, and you'll start having symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're also panting and really going to town, then you will definitely feel it.
Yeah.
Is that you?
No.
Not you.
But this is when you're sexually excited or when there's actually a guy on top of you?
Both.
Oh, both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I mean, would they get numb if you were just, I don't know, your
football
gardener took a shirt off?
No.
Manuel.
No.
Big belly in the sun. No?
No.
All right. Well, that's all. A little hyperventilation. That's it. Yeah?
Yep.
Chris, find that finger popping song.
Yeah, I have it over here.
You do?
Yeah.
Can we hear it during the break?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
What does that mean?
All right.
What? Why maybe?
Well, you can't pull
it
up.
You have to, like, download it.
Oh, okay.
You got to find it.
You can't download
radio station thing.
Yeah. You can't?
There you go.
No, we can't.
All right. Thomas?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
I actually had a question for Dr. Drew. I was listening to the girl talking earlier about the guy stabbing himself on the thigh.
Yep.
Last week, I was drinking, and I was feeling kind of down, and I actually stabbed myself in the calf. I had a hard time walking at first. It got really swollen, and my foot got swollen, and now my whole foot is the shade of purple. It's a light purple.
Yeah.
But the cut itself feels fine.
The what itself?
The cut. Yeah, the blood went down to his foot.
Yeah, the blood tracks down to the foot. It is something that needs to be looked at. There's several different complications you can get into. Obviously, you can get into infection, which you're saying you don't have. You can cause blood clots to form in your leg and travel to your lung and kill you. You can cause what's called a compartment syndrome, where the blood gets into an enclosed space. There are different compartments in the thigh area, in the calf area, rather, that are get compressed when the blood fills it and can crush nerves, crush muscle. If it crushes muscle, that gets dissolved in your blood and then goes to your kidney and shuts your kidneys down. So these are all things that need to be sort of evaluated. It's probably okay, but who knows, Thomas? I guess
all
that's
right.
Him.
All right, everybody. Thanks for the six count before the reply.
It's not just an infection or immediate bleeding. The internal bleeding, internal clot formation, this stuff is very significant.
Why did you stab yourself in the calf?
I actually stabbed myself a couple times with a pen in my chest. And
I understand. I'm asking about the calf.
And I have no idea. Like, I was totally intoxicated, and I had a Leatherman, like a little pocket knife deal. And I had tried cutting my chest, and for some reason it was I just ended up cutting my calf. Like, I stabbed my calf. It went about an inch and a half deep and about an inch and a half wide, and it was just gushing blood.
Yeah, doesn't this everybody sort of teach everyone an example that, you know, when they say, well, I drink when I'm on drugs, I speak my mind. I don't have so many inhibitions. I just able to tell people like it really is when I'm, you know, when I'm drinking. It's like, no, you're on drugs when you're drinking. You do crazy ass that you wouldn't otherwise do. And it's
just anyone done this otherwise?
No, it's an alcohol maker. He doesn't even know why he did it. He has no idea. He's on drugs. His brain isn't working right.
Yeah. When you're stoned, though, this doesn't do that. You won't do
this.
Well,
you have different stuff then.
Yeah, different stuff. It's
not this.
Eating
pizzas. Yeah.
It's snacking, not stabbing.
Yeah. Speaking of snacking, you hungry?
I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry, but you know, I'm trying to mellow out.
So really,
I'm trying to mellow out. Yeah,
well,
that's
good.
And I do know once you start mellowing out a little bit, you just start, it gets off your radar a little bit.
Yeah, unwinds.
Yeah, the whole thing about food is, it's like some sort of hornet's nest. You can't agitate it, or they all fly out and start buzzing around. You know,
yes.
So you can't chuck a dirt clod at the beehive.
Yes,
you want it to settle down. Just leave it alone. But just stop coming up with plans.
Well, at least, you know, you're filming a television show now, and there's no food on the sets, and they're not taking breaks every 4 hours and giving you catered meals.
That's all, I know.
So,
it's all, this industry, it's nothing but food and booze, and those are two things that'll kill you. Like, you start getting a problem with booze or drugs, you're out, and you get fat, you're out. And that's all this. It's all muffins and scotch. That's all this. Be good band, Muffins and Scotch.
Back with the suicidal sexual, what? What was it? Suicidal Sexual Machine.
Suicidal Duh. Sex Machine is opening for Muffins and Scotch.
Muffins and Scotch sounds more like a Captain and Tennille team, you know?
Yeah, he's wearing the captain's hat. He's playing the Hammond organ. She's got the acoustic guitar. She's on the stool. See a little something from Muffins and Scotch going back to 1974.
Yeesh.
This is Muskrat Rape.
Finger popping time.
It's finger popping time. Darian?
Yes.
You're 25?
That's correct.
What's up?
I'm kind of interested, this is a question for both of you. What do you feel is the age difference should be?
And by the way, I have news for everyone that calls in. All questions are for both of us.
Thank you. That's a good question. Well, maybe they're just saying they don't want Chris chiming in.
Okay. All right.
I agree with that, by the way.
What's the question?
Question is, when are you going to find me the Hank Ballard in the Midnighters?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Darian.
What do you think the age length should be between two people that are dating?
Depends on the age of the two people.
Well,
it can get wider as you get older to a certain point.
Okay, well, I'm 25. My girlfriend's 18.
Yeah. Finger popping time. Finger popping, popping. It's a horrible song when you sing it.
When you sing
it. Anyone, even Hank Ballard screwed it up.
Darren, 18, 25 is a pretty good age difference. Is she in high school still?
No, she's in college now.
All right. Are you in college?
Yes.
You're in college still at 25?
ITT.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What are you learning? Computer skills?
Networking.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Well, banging 18-year-olds, that's what it means. All right, so listen, Darian, who cares? You're fine.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch. I worry about her, but it's not horrible.
All right, cool.
All right?
All right, you're fine. Here's the thing, too. It's kind of where you are, too. Like
in your life, right.
If she's in college at 18 and you're in college at 25, well, then you're a couple of college students.
Right, exactly.
Could both be living at home, could the same thing, issues around money and whatever.
Yep,
it's all there, right?
Oh,
let's get together Friday and study.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Higher than that.
Alvin.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Nothing. Is this Adam?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? I had a question about blowing air into my urethra.
Yeah.
Sure. Good. Who doesn't?
I got some answers about that.
Here we go.
Okay, is it damaging?
What in the hell are you talking about?
Blowing air into my urethra with a straw.
You use compressed air?
No, it's just air from my mouth. It's kind of like a male queef.
How'd you get it down there? I mean, you use a straw?
Yeah, just put the straw over the hole of my urethra.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm hit to the hole part.
All right, well, first of all, the straw into the urethra is taking a...
Well, it's not going in. It's just putting it on.
You're not putting it in the urethra?
No, it's just on.
On.
I know he said in, but yeah. You see,
right.
I speak fluent teenage tart.
I like that. And then you blew air. Did it actually feel like it was going into the urethra?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that there was air in there.
Why?
What mind, by the way?
Because I felt it. It's a very distinct feeling.
All right. Well, the air could bring some bacteria with it, and that is a sterile environment, urethra, and so you can cause all kinds of havoc, infection, stenosis, narrowing, great things. It's really...
So the air could have something in it.
When you're blowing it
out of your mouth.
Out of your mouth, through the straw,
and then you could blow...
Bacteria.
Into yourself.
Sure.
And infect yourself with your own ass.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, thank you.
All right. And how did it come out?
How did it come out? What do you mean?
How do you know it came out?
The air.
When you peed, was there something coming out? Or
no, what it was is immediately after blowing it into my urethra, I pinched the head of my penis, and then I just kind of grabbed at the base and slide up.
And it came out.
Yeah, and it made a very weird vibrating sensation right at the tip and a little bit of a noise.
No, it didn't make a noise.
You can think it's bogus, but it's legit, Adam.
No, I don't believe you're bogus, Alvin. But now, hang on a second.
I believe it.
What else are you into?
I thought of it, actually.
What other weird stuff are you doing to yourself?
Oh, no, that's about as far as I go.
All right. Oh, man. Reason 128 not to name your kid Alvin.
Yeah.
But I really am jealous. I can't believe I didn't think of that in high school.
Really?
I just can't believe I didn't think of that.
No, I'm confused.
Well, why are you confused?
But what would that have done for you?
Who cares? We didn't have cable.
Ah, I see. Entertainment. Okay, got it.
Now imagine my tortured life. I didn't read, and I had channel 5 and 9.
With a coat hanger antenna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. By the way, coat hangers used to be used for everything. Baling wire.
Yeah.
Muffler and rear end repair.
Yes, car doors.
Car doors, car antennas, breaking into cars,
antennas
for TV. I mean,
they've lost their...
Now they're just used for hangers.
Their mojo.
Yeah.
And they're not used for that now because everyone wants to have wooden ones.
Yeah, it's almost like duct tape only being used to tape ducks or something. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, they must be in a tailspin, the Wire Hanger Manufacturers Union of the world. You know, they got to be pissed.
Mm.
Yes?
Mm, yes.
All right. I don't know what happened, but here's dig on this, everybody. Finger popping time. No, we grew up in a time, Drew and I did, where there was no replacement parts for anything. So if you bought a TV and inevitably the little cheap piece of plastic that went in the channel changing knob snapped off in week number 3, you then had to use vice grips for the next 26 years.
Absolutely, but not only that.
If your car muffler broke off and started hanging out, you had to use a coat hanger.
But
if the antenna broke on your car, well, you couldn't get a new antenna. You had to put a coat hanger.
Stay with the TV for a second. We hadn't yet hit the stage of sort of technology where electronics were evolving so quickly that every 6 months you got to buy something new anyway. You figure you buy a TV, that's your TV for your lifetime. That's it. That's your TV.
No, that's
what you're going to be watching TV. And that's it forever.
Yeah,
that's
look,
it.
I don't know where we got this, the Corollas.
Yeah, well, even the Corollas, you imagine.
Forget about it. Those idiots. The black and white, like, Zenith we had.
That was it for your entire
reception.
Your entire life of your family, that was your TV.
Oh,
your family of origin. And so if the antenna broke, You had to figure out a way to fix it. Well, no replacement, no internet, no further TVs. You weren't going to buy another TV.
No, electronics were not disposable at all.
Or replaceable.
Or replaceable.
You had one, that's it. That was
same
your
phone, same yes. TV, same stereo.
Yes.
Straight on through.
All the way through your childhood and young adolescence.
Forget about this. This thing was from the 50s anyway.
Right.
So, you know, when I got hold of it, it was 20 years old.
Right.
I got to sue them. I'm going to sue them, Drew.
Well,
do you understand?
I do.
All right.
Mr. Excitement.
Believe me, I'm Mr. Excitement. you will be called to the stand. Believe you me. You will be my expert witness. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
Mr. Excitement's been regaling us with musical interludes during the break.
Here's what happens. I announced to Drew that he knows something. He announces he's never heard of it, and then I continue to pound it into him until he admits he's heard of it. But I don't think he admits it. I think he's just doing it to shut me up.
If I were really just going to shut you up, I would have done it a long while ago.
You would have done it a long time ago. And it is true that my batting average, when I explain to you that you've seen something, you've heard it.
I'm completely accepting. I'm open to that completely because it's like 89%.
Yeah, I'm close to about 90% when I yell at Drew he's heard of something.
Yeah.
But Drew will tell me the first 8 times he's never heard of it.
No, I don't know the name of it or whatever. I don't recognize it.
All right, buddy boy. But then it turns out you do.
Yeah, well, at that point when you say I have, then I of course don't resist any further.
That's a good boy. AJ?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
You're 24?
Yeah, I used androstenedione about 4 years ago, and I stopped using it right after I noticed some erectile difficulties. But the problem I'm having right now is I can achieve an erection. It's just when it's flaccid, it's really like shriveled up and not like how it used to be prior to the to androstenedione use. So I'm wondering. I mean, most of the medication right now, they cure the problem of not being able to, you know, get an erection. So what can I do about is there anything I can do about it now?
I have a ton of thoughts here. Hold on a second. Where'd you get the androstenedione?
I bought it over-the-counter at GNC.
Okay, so you're just using glandular over-the-counter androstenedione, which is a testosterone precursor.
Form, you let it dissolve under your
tongue. Yeah. All right, it's a testosterone precursor, which has some androgen effect, but it's not a huge amount. So it's not likely to have long-term effects. And the first effect it would have, even if that were long-term effects, would be erectile dysfunction, which you're not having. Are you having a change in your sex drive?
No, not really.
Your sex drive is normal. So what you're saying is you don't like the size of your penis when it's flaccid.
Well, it's different than when it used to be prior to
and
the,
and
the
when was you started using the androstenedione? When you were 20?
Yeah, I was about 19, 20.
Have you changed your weight change or anything like that since then?
Well, when I started using it, within the first 9 months to a year, I put on about 40 pounds close to. And then once I started noticing this problem, I stopped using it, and my weight kind of, you know, pretty much, I don't know if it crashed, but it did. Within 6 months, I lost everything I had gained.
You went back to normal.
Yeah.
And that, so that that was 40 pounds of muscle weight, huh?
Well, no, it was 40 pounds of, I think what it is, I think it's water retention or something, because it wasn't really solid muscle mass.
You're 40 pounds of muscle mass on 6 months.
You can if you're taking heavy androgens.
Mm-hmm.
These guys do this. But AJ just sounds all screwed up, though, to me.
Yeah.
It's like he's preoccupied with his penis and that certain aspects of it doesn't look right.
Most guys with initial names are preoccupied about their penis. TJ, AG, AJ. AC. AJ?
Yeah.
What's going on now? I mean, how's your life going?
It's going good.
Okay.
What are you doing for a living?
I'm a CPA.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you're worried about the size of your penis?
Well, I'm worried about
your erection?
No, it wasn't even that. It's what his penis looks like when it's flaccid.
Yeah, when it's flaccid, it's different than when it used to be. It acts all shriveled up, you know, kind of rises back. Yeah, I mean, it's smaller than it used to be when it's flaccid.
But when it's hard, it's as big as ever.
I wouldn't say as big as ever. I mean, a little bit of a
like a numbness at the tip, a little, you know.
What does numbness have to do with the size?
What was that?
Hold
on. CPA?
So really? You passed your CPA exam? All parts?
You handle people's money?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No, it's a legitimate question. It may sound a little...
No, you're not tracking, AJ. That's the problem. We ask you, is it the same size erect as before? And you say it's numb at the tip.
Yeah, well, it has nothing to do with the size. The size is the same.
Just say yes, then. The size is the same when erect. That's the answer to that question.
Okay. I think people that call this show, if they're not complaining about it, then it should just be an affirmative kind of thing.
Right.
Like you go, is your penis the same size as it was before you started taking the androgens?
No answer.
It hurts now.
It's numb at the tip.
That means yes. That means it's yes. It's or they would be saying
yes.
They don't say anything.
We're supposed to assume affirmative,
right?
Because we know it's them.
Yeah. I don't know. How about going to urologist then if it's numb at the tip?
Yeah. It this whole story just doesn't make sense to me. And if you're worried
he's also AJ sounds like a guy who's sort of primitive in his thought process and almost you know, a lot of people do that, which is. And this is how sort of superstitious people work.
Right.
During a certain something is happening in their life, a song comes on the radio and they get into a car crash, so they think that song is bad
right.
luck.
They make associations. Right.
Right. So, I was taking this and then I stopped and then my penis.
Right.
Well, it could be something to do with
right.
this.
Or it could be something else or nothing.
Could be anything or nothing.
Yeah.
You should talk to a urologist.
Well, actually, you can start with a regular doctor. Could be, God knows, some other medical problem or other endocrinological problems that need to be evaluated first. Get that checked out. They can check free testosterone, check sex hormone binding globulin, check thyroid and prolactin, these things that can also add. Maybe an endocrinologist would help you. And then I would sort of stay in the endocrine realm because you really don't have a urological problem. And a urologist is not going to be able to judge whether or not the size has changed. That's something you're claiming. Mm-hmm. Which I'm skeptical about, frankly.
Mm.
But have an endocrinologist take a look at whether or not something organic is going on here.
I've been watching a lot of this Jose Canseco steroid baseball stuff.
Yeah.
It's really funny because he's like getting interviewed by 60 Minutes and he's like, yeah, I was on steroids my whole career. And then, when I was on the A's with Mark McGwire, I used to inject him, you know.
Yeah.
And you see these pictures of Mark McGwire, by the way. I mean, you see Mark McGwire the first 5 years of the league.
Thin.
Something sort of just, he was a lean guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you really forget.
Yeah.
I think guy's like 6'5", you know. Yeah. 6'5" guys usually a little longer,
yeah.
A little more stretched out. You forget the old pictures of Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire.
Oh, yeah,
guys
they're
like
lean
this.
Guys.
Then you see Mark McGwire, you know, a picture of him rounding the bases later in his career. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Totally different physique.
Yeah.
And the thing is, a guy can lift some weights, put some muscle on, but you don't turn into a bodybuilder.
No.
Unless that's what you're doing.
Right. And bodybuilders take lots of steroids.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, you can see it in their thighs.
Yeah.
You can see thighs. So all of a sudden, because they're wearing baseball pants, they're just sort of tight and clingy. Look at old pictures of Mark McGwire. It's just, you know, just look like a regular build guy. Always a good-sized guy. But, just, you know, thighs, ass, it's calves. And that kind of, you see him turn the corners. It looks like a drawing of a football player.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right. And these guys saying that they didn't take steroids.
And the thing that's funny, too, is like, Canseco's like, yeah, when I was on Texas, I used to do Pudge Rodriguez and this other guy and I do this other guy. I gave them all the stuff and they did themselves and blah, blah, blah. They show these like before and after pictures. And then the guy's comments like, I don't know what he's talking about. It's like,
listen, this is the same people that Michael Jackson, no plastic surgery. Yeah. No, what are you talking about? He never had plastic surgery.
I know it's incredible. It's like, well, first off, just take a look at a little before and after shot. And secondly, I understand people make up lies and people write, erroneous things in books and things like that. But one of your teammates, who, by the way, wasn't a bat boy, he was hitting 40-40. I mean, this guy was first guy to steal 40 bases and hit 40 home runs. In a season, the guy's got 450 something home runs to his credit. Was an all-star. I think it was National League Player of the Year or something like that.
Yeah.
In late '80s, he's an all-star. He's a superstar too. He's just saying, yeah. We sat in the clubhouse. I gave him the thing, and he injected himself.
And by the way, are we shocked. A, the evidence is obvious when you look at these guys and their body images. But secondly, I've never heard of steroids in professional sports. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, Maris's, 59 home run thing sticks around for 50 years. And then all of a sudden, everyone just starts breaking it.
Yeah,
that just happened, too. And by the way, broken by two guys who look completely different than when they entered the league 10 years earlier.
Right, they're just eating more, Adam. How dare you?
They got a good work ethic.
Workout.
That's what he's saying. It's like, well, he takes care of himself. All right. I just think it's funny when someone specifically names the people that they actually shot the juice with, and I don't think Canseco is going to win any awards for courtesy or any. Congeniality, but he's just sitting there saying, I injected the guy. What are you going to do? I was on it, and so was he.
He's no Mr. Excitement.
No, not like the Ace Man.
That's right.
And Jackie Wilson. All right.
One question, come on.
All right, let's go to break.
You want to?
Do most guys prefer BJs, sex, or beating off? All right. Shauna?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering if most guys prefer masturbating to either oral sex or intercourse.
Wow. Well, first off, Drew is a man of exquisite passion, so he would never prefer anything other than the actual intercourse.
Thank you.
But the question remains.
No question.
Drew can't
do it. That's
it,
period.
Drew can't do it.
Mm-mm.
He can't do it.
That's it. Done.
Can't do it.
So answer her question. No.
No. Drew says no.
Guys do not prefer anything to sex. Some guys like oral to sex.
Yeah, I could take a BJ.
But I don't really think a usual guy would prefer masturbation to anything.
Let me give you some circumstances, though. Now, it's not, honeymooning couples. Of course not. But maybe take a couple that's been together for quite some time. Maybe
add a few pounds.
Maybe there's a couple of pounds. Maybe there's a little baggage, a little tension,
angry,
a little whatever. Right. Something's going on.
Well done.
And I'm not talking about a couple that's been together for 28 years. That's maybe the guy's been with you for 2 years. Maybe something's going on. I don't know. And maybe he gives himself a new Jenna Jameson DVD or something.
He might prefer that.
But that one time.
Yes.
You couldn't say to him, though, you'll always have to use the DVD. He would say no.
Yep, you're right.
Thank you. But not Drew. Passionate, man. Passionate.
Adam.
Yeah?
If you were in the mood for sex and you didn't have enough energy, would you prefer masturbating at that time, though?
No, that's not enough. You're not enough energy, I mean, you're going to sleep.
If you're in the mood for sex, you're... Yeah.
Yeah, you're not enough energy. You're tired, you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
If you're saying, I don't have enough energy, and then you're jacking off, there's something wrong with the relationship.
If you're saying you don't have enough for sex.
Yeah.
But hold on, how dare you
for a second. There's an emotional component to it. Sometimes you're not emotionally up to it.
Yeah.
As a guy, too, because as a guy, you feel like, all right, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta be present, we gotta hug. It's gonna be horrible. Like, I just wanna... There's times... It's sort of like... going to the mall or something. It's like, I need some socks, but I don't really have the energy for the mall. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Now we can take a break.
Coming around, buddy. Shauna?
Yeah.
It's almost finger popping time, so we got to go.
All right. Go finger pop.
All right, baby doll. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah! Woo! Get it on. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Mr. Excitement here. Finger popping time. Ronnie?
Yes.
18?
Yes.
Are you a virgin?
Yes, I am. Yeah, my girlfriend and I both. So.
Wow. Now Ronnie is 18 and he's calling from Arizona. Nobody from the show 18 calling from Arizona is a virgin, but yet his voice.
Told the story.
Yes, betrays him. Go ahead, Ronnie.
All right. Okay,
It says virgins on the screen.
My question is, my fiance and I, we're both virgins, and but we have slept naked together in a bed. And we have, like,
we have, you know, fooled around together.
Sure.
And, what we've done is, like, I would take, like, my penis and I would, like, tickle her clit and I would just, like, and I did I did ejaculate above her clit one time. And, I don't know, I just...
Well,
hold on, Robbie, hold on a second.
First off, above her clit could be anywhere up into the stratosphere.
Okay, like,
I mean,
like
it could go from about 28 inches off the ground all the way up to commercial airliner's height. I mean, so you got to be more specific. Yeah. Okay. I kept it within the stratosphere.
That's good.
Okay, yeah, to be
75,000 feet or something.
It's
yes?
Like, it was like right there where her hair was and all that stuff. So,
okay.
All right.
This is strangely more intimate than sex, what he's describing.
At least he's doing it in a more intimate, or at least
uncomfortable way.
Okay. So that happened. All right. Okay.
Okay. The question is, could she get pregnant at all? Anyway, like, by doing that,
we would say it is not impossible,
but highly unlikely. Are you worrying about the sperm going through her skin? Yeah. I mean, where do you think? How's it going to get down?
Like, I don't know if like maybe some got down there, or like when I was you know, using my head, my penis to give her an orgasm, you know, could like say maybe discharge or anything, cause anything. I don't know.
Unlikely.
Well, it's like saying, you know, shooting a bullet up in the air. Could it kill somebody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it going to kill somebody? Probably not.
Okay.
All right. So you're all right, but it seems like you're getting to that place now where you're going to have sex, so you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll be getting married soon. I'm just like, you know, just temptation kicks in.
So they're going to wait until marriage.
Are you guys religious?
Yes.
All right. So. What are you? What do you got going on?
We're Christians.
So. Oh, okay.
And again, right. doesn't your church have something to say about the activities you are engaged in?
Clit tickling is not prohibited in the Bible.
In the rule book? You've seen it in the rule book? Have you read the rule book?
I have, and there's nothing about clit tickling.
All right.
And then ejaculating on the clitoris.
And what is sexual about that? It's like a rape.
It's not sexual. It's not sexual. It's a violent crime. Yeah. But a virgin.
Yeah. Yeah. A vocal virgin.
Let me tell you about the Bible really is, it's no different than the IRS. It's just...
Full of exceptions.
Well, they laid down a bunch of rules, and it's now your job to see if you can work around them within the sort of technical parameters of them so you don't get busted.
It certainly seems that's what people do.
Yeah.
The whole spirit of it's been completely lost.
I'm a very, you know, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't have intercourse. I might do a little decorating. you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. I just heard a guy know what you mean.
To me, it really is sort of the height of retardism, where you just, have we evolved? Have we evolved from primitive man much at all? No?
Doesn't seem like him.
You don't want to just chuck something in a volcano, make it go away that way? Is that crazy? That's crazier?
But here's the thing. They're going to follow the letter of something as a technical way of fulfilling the spirit. And then missing the spirit altogether.
Well, yeah, and obviously, there's no book big enough to deal with
all
tickling
the
clitoris
and
having an orgasm on the pubic patch. there's no book big enough that says you can't do that. You'll find
another exception.
Something
that's not
doesn't
in the book.
Mention. Yeah. There's nothing about 69ing. There's nothing about anal.
Well, there is
in
about
the
that,
Torah. I think there's something
about
anal.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you ready? Let's just talk to Cammie. Cammie.
Hi, this is Cammie.
Uh-oh. You're 18. That's trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Cammie's a troublesome name.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no one at Yale named Cammie. I can guarantee you that, right? If you took Cambridge, Yale.
New Haven's got a bunch of strip clubs, though.
No. If you took Cambridge and you took.
New Haven.
And actually, I'm not trying to think of Cambridge.
Princeton.
They took Princeton, and they took Brown. He took all the Ivy League schools. And then what's the ones I'm thinking of in England?
Oh, Oxford and Cambridge.
Yeah, Cambridge. I am thinking. You should let me go.
I thought you were talking about Cambridge, Massachusetts,
no,
or Harvard.
I'm talking about Cambridge and Oxford. Yeah. Took them all, put them all together.
Yeah.
Entire female student body.
Yeah.
Not one Cammie, not one Tammy. Maybe Tammy. Tammy. Maybe one
not
Tammy.
A Cammy,
but faculty. She's faculty. Cammy?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on?
What's the question?
Okay, well, I have a boyfriend, and I've been with him for a while, and, like, we became sexually active, and he just, like, doesn't last long. I don't know what it is, like,
how long?
10 minutes max.
That's actually about average.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, that's just, like, one time. Usually the average is, like, less than 5 minutes, seriously.
All right. There's really not anything
that's
to do.
That's just him. What do you mean? Cammy, what do you think?
Do
is it something
he's
you
gotta,
can change?
He's got to give you some good oral sex.
I've had other guys before, and I don't know, but...
Yeah, that's like, every man is different, and that's his timing.
Can he give you some oral sex?
Well, yeah, well, he lasts longer with that. I'm just like...
No, no, you... He lasts longer.
I know. Can he give you... You remember some of my kids?
Yes, yes.
Are you going to junior college?
No, not yet.
Not even.
You're going, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to see a chart between the Ivy League Cammies and the junior college Cammies. Like, Ivy League Cammy, just flatline, just nothing.
Junior college.
Like, be 120 years of college, it'd just be nothing. Nothing. But like 1941, there was a little blip because someone won for a quarter and then dropped out.
Right.
But that was it. And junior college is predominantly Cammy. We actually haven't had anybody
title
here not named Cammy. You were asking for trouble when you go for Cammy. Why do you do
seems
it?
Like it.
All right. Do I ever wrong about Cammy?
No, you've never been.
Thank you. Anyway. All right, baby. Have him give you some oral sex.
Yes.
And we'll be back after this. The show. Wow.
Mr. Excitement once again.
Yeah, finger popping time. I want to thank Boogity 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 Shoop. I want to thank engineer Anderson, of course, for doing a wonderful job all week long, going above and beyond. I want to thank engineer Chris and engineer What's-His-Nose, who filled in for engineer Chris and did a fantastic...
Rick.
Cool guy Rick came in here last night, did a great job. I want to thank phone screener Brian. I want to thank producer Ann. I want to thank junior producer Lauren, who's stepping it up. Oh yeah, on her game. It's a new her. She was dormant like a gator at the zoo,
just waiting
for the first couple of years. But pow, someone put a Bunsen burner on her, and now she's a new woman.
Crocodile now.
God bless her. We'll take ourselves a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, the sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.